Try your mics again.
Testing, testing.
Hello.
Testing.
Mine's not very up. Testing.
Hello, hello.
Still pretty low.
Testing, testing.
Well, that's fine.
Hello. Mine's good.
Testing.
Mine is not. Well, it is working. Okay.
Is mine working, Courtney?
Yeah.
Yours sounds like it is.
Okay.
I'm a little bit low.
I
am a quiet speaker.
You're going to write it. You have to yell
to me. I'll eat the mic.
Okay, Courtney, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start over again. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, May the 5th, 2015. I currently have 6:04 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. What we'll do tonight is have a presentation from Cheryl Lowe on the FY15 budget amendments and also a discussion on a tentative budget for FY16. Then we will have a discussion on the American Fork Vision Project, and then hope to have time to go into exec session, talk with Mr. Shaw. So that's a lot, but I think we're going to get it accomplished. So, Mr. Lowe, time is yours. Go as quickly as you can.
Okay. First, I'm going to discuss the budget amendments for the current year. The first budget amendment that I'm proposing is up to $250,000, a minimum of $100,000 to the Capital Projects Fund. And this is part of the Capital Improvements Plan to do the Bay Hill Park, and it also provides some contingency funds for whether the park, the maintenance shed, or other capital projects that we may need. And it allows us to stay under the 25% requirement that the state requires without getting a comment. The second budget adjustment is for the Family Festival. The committee has asked for additional $5,000 for the dinner. You guys are welcome to ask me any questions as these are going on. This is their offset they were proposing were donations. I'm not sure if we're there on donations yet, but that was.
Would those be advertising donations?
Or sponsorships.
Sponsorships, yeah. And other revenues. The next budget adjustment is motor pool reclassifications. It's not changing.
Are you getting any Wi-Fi down?
The total amount we transfer to the motor pool fund, it's just reclassing it to expense accounts for departments, which is a more accurate.
Sorry, Cheryl, we're just having Wi-Fi
technical
issues
difficulties.
Trying to get onto
anybody?
Dropbox. No.
I'm not on, I can't get anything.
No, we're not. I'm not on either.
But the mayor's on.
Well.
So it's hard to see.
I'm assuming I'm on.
He may have. Did you pull that up?
I can make
here?
The.
Could have pulled it up before.
I can make the view bigger. So you want me to try to make that larger?
I'm on Cedar's guest, but it's really not. It's not connecting at all.
If you can, that might not be a bad idea. I mean, I can read it. Okay, can you read that? Okay, Mike.
I cannot.
I'm hooked up to Daniel Zappala's
That's what
I'm doing. Yeah, Daniel Zappala's is coming up nice and strong in here.
Yeah, it says guest is limited access.
We'll send you another one.
Try this. I just sent you a password for the.
Is the name? What's the name?
It's Cedar Hills. Just Cedar Hills.
That's not even an option.
Yeah, it's not coming up as an option.
It is for me.
Is this new Vivid?
Oh, no. Oh, I see it.
It's
now
very,
I see
very
it.
Weak.
No, this is Digis.
Oh, well, then I guess I'm not so surprised. I had to refresh, and then it came up, Mike.
Really?
The Cedar Hills without the guest. Sorry, Jack.
Okay, that's all right. So normally transfers are more for subsidies and to change fund balance. Internal service fund usually charges for the services it provides instead of having transfers coming in. So I just I'm just kind of cleaning up the terminology a little bit.
That's with respect to the motor pools, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Voila.
The golf fund adjustments related to the motor pool, also it's the same amount. The capital projects fund is the other side of the transfer from the general fund, depending on how the year lands. We have 2/3 of the revenue so far, even though we're 10 months in, you know, there's a lag. So we only have 2/3 of the information that will be applied to this fiscal year. So things could change. So it could be anywhere between $100,000 to $250,000, depending on how expenditures and revenues land. Mass transit sales tax. I can give a little history about that. When I lived here in Cedar Hills around 2002, 2003, the city voted for mass transit sales tax. And then in 2011, the county voted for it, county as a whole. So the only mass transit sales tax still coming to the city is from stuff before 2011. So that's why it's like $10. You're going to see most of the mass transit sales tax revenues and distributions under the county. But it's one of the state compliance items. It's not really material, but I just did it to be complete. Water and sewer fund, it's another motor pool reclassification instead of having to transfer, making it a charge. And then pass-through funds, traditionally like Timpanogos, special service district impact fees, have been recorded in liability account, and then they've been paid out of that liability account and would be zeroed out. But for governmental accounting purposes, they really should, just like a grant, we got to recognize the money that comes in and money goes out, even if we don't have any control over it. So these are changing it from a liability account to revenue and expenditure accounts. And it's just some things that I'm proposing as we have a new auditor, a new set of eyes, so that they don't have questions about those items. Those are all the budget amendments. Do you have time to go through the budget at all, or do you want to go through something else in work session? Because I can start the budget presentation.
How much time will that take?
I think it's fine if I wait till the meeting if you want to discuss something else.
I think you're going to do it again anyways, right?
Yeah.
So does anyone have any questions on the budget amendments that Cheryl just presented?
I guess my only question is for David in terms of the items that are being put there in case we spend money on Bay Hill Park and the Golf Maintenance Shed. How are those projects moving forward?
We still need, I'll let probably Chandler talk about the Bay Hill Park because of the changes that the Parks and Trails Committee is proposing. But on the maintenance shed, we are moving forward on that. We're getting a survey ready for the site. And then we've engaged Architectural Coalition, Mr. Gill, for that design of that project. So that's moving forward as well. But that will most likely be paid in the 2016 budget because that project will not be completed this year, in this fiscal year.
Daniel, you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On Bay Hill Park, we're going to use the FY15 budget in order to redesign the park according to the Parks and Trails and the City Council's recommendations that we presented. That's the only thing we have budgeted for this year, and then we're planning on installing that park next year with the FY16 money.
What changes did they make?
It was the changes of increasing the play area, increasing the amount of landscape, and moving the trail onto the aqueduct easement.
Ah, okay.
So we'll need to redesign that and just make sure that the slopes work with what the proposals are.
Okay. Mr. Geddes, Mrs. Reese, you guys have any questions?
No.
Okay. Very good. I want to have a a brief conversation with the chief who just stepped out. And so let's talk for a moment about fire and holidays coming up and fireworks. So, and then when he comes in, he'll give his take. So this is not anything we're acting on in this meeting or the council meeting, but we're going to kick off a discussion that will probably come back at our next meeting as an action item to make some policy about how we want to handle fireworks. So last year, we allowed above Canyon Road only fireworks that would stay on the ground, that were done in front of someone's home, and encouraged that they have a bucket of water or a hose nearby. No aerials above Canyon Road, none at all. And we also encouraged people to go to Mesquite Park, where there was a fire truck parked. And I don't know how many people went, but I was told that there were some that went. Below Canyon Road, we did allow aerials, and we allowed any type of fireworks, but also encouraged people to have water nearby in case something were to happen. So at this point, we already had a small fire over the weekend where some teenagers that the chief told me were well-intended kids. They weren't up there partying and causing trouble, but they took wood up there, started a bonfire, and I don't know if they were roasting hot dogs or s'mores or what. At any rate, the fire got out of their control, and they panicked. Fortunately, the fire department was up there very quickly, put it out. But the chief has expressed an opinion to me that he would like to prohibit open fires up in the area. He is talking with the Forest Service to get their opinion on it, because at this point, the Forest Service does allow open fires in the Forest Service area, which kind of boggles my mind a little bit. But at any rate, so he's going to talk with John Stansfield, who's our Forest Service rep out of Pleasant Grove, and get his opinion on it. But he, I think, is open to the idea at this point to allowing the same type of restrictions that we had last year, this year. However, he recognizes, and I think I and you recognize, that things can change. But there was one year where I think we waited too long, and we, rightfully so, made an all-out ban on the city. But it was unfortunate because people had already bought fireworks, and some people were upset that they couldn't use those. But it was the right thing to do. At the same time, I think we'd like to get out in front of this issue this year, and if there is going to be an all-out ban, we get out in front of it early, say, so people don't spend money on fireworks. If we're going to have the same type of policy that we had last year, then that's something that we need to start communicating to the residents. But our messaging needs to be quite clear that this policy could change if things got continually worse. And so the chief says that it's fluid. It's, as everyone knows, it was a very mild winter. Things are very dry. A rainstorm does help quite a bit. And so those are some of the issues that we're dealing with right now. So you guys have any thoughts on how you want to formulate fire policy, fireworks policy this year?
I'm always willing to follow whatever Chief Freeman recommends. I mean, it's his team that is at risk when there are fires, and so if he feels that we need to implement those now, I'm fine with that.
So he's saying that right now he's relatively comfortable with the same policy we had last year.
Yeah.
And so, as I mentioned, that can change. So, Mr. Bunker, how would we communicate that to the residents? Is there a problem with using the Parlant technology, to communicate this to residents over the next couple of months?
No, I think Parlant's a good way to communicate that. Newsletter, Facebook, all of the forms of communication. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. So any and all forms of communication that we can use in order to get the word out there about this. I think we should use them all. So, Mr. Geddes, you have anything to add?
I concur with what Jenny said. I thought the policy worked good last year, and that I didn't hear any problems with it, and I think it makes good logical sense.
Okay. Staff, you guys have anything you want to add to it? Nope. Okay. All right. Then, when he comes back, Chief, are you free?
Yeah, I just...
Okay, thank you. All right. So, Chief Freeman, I just kind of set the table for you.
Okay.
And let the council know a conversation you and I had about policy this year. And so we talked about, at this point, having the same policy we had last year, knowing that that can change rapidly. So I told them that last year we did not allow any type of aerials above Canyon Road. We did allow families to have fireworks that were on the ground,
right,
as long as they had water close by. We allowed aerials below Canyon Road, and we allowed, you know, people to be able to light off fireworks in Mesquite Park. There's a fire truck there. So at this point, you and I talked about that same policy, but I know that the council would always welcome your thoughts.
Okay. Just so everybody knows, they predict this year is going to be as bad as the year was when we had the Quail Fire and the state had all those fires. Unless something, well, actually, it's too late for things to change. Even if we get rain, something about the moisture content of the brush has already picked up what moisture it's going to pick up. So the rain would help dampen it, but when it gets dry, it's going to be really dry, especially the oak brush. So I think that's fair. So my assessment is, I say we do the aerials for now, no aerials above Canyon Road, make everything else legal below Canyon Road. And that's right now. Like I said, it could get worse. And then fires and fire pits only, you know, recreation fires. But one thing we're having a problem with, we had the fire the other night, is we're having kids go up and start bonfires on the mountain. There's two spots they do it. Actually, there's three. And the other night, we had fires going in all three spots, and they burn pallets. I mean, these aren't just little campfires. These are bonfires. Well, we had a problem, though, because really, other than the size of the fire, it's legal right now. And a lot of them, two of them were in the Forest Service, and they're legal. I can't stop them in the Forest Service. So my idea is to put some signs at the end of those roads. There's two areas they go up in there that says no bonfires, because the kids were pretty good about it. They said, oh, we didn't know. We'd come here for years. So you may want to think about a restriction like that, because right now there's no restriction. I don't know. The city doesn't have a policy, does it? An ordinance on that? I don't know if they do or not.
Open fires.
I know we didn't have open fires last year, but yeah, then we raised it in the winter. I mean, we can do it in Cedar Hills property right now. We can shut it down, but they're going up into the Forest Service. They're just going through Cedar Hills. So.
Did you have any conversations with John Stansfield?
I tried to get a hold of him. I left a message, but he hasn't gotten back to me.
Okay. Maybe if you can keep us in the loop in terms of what he tells us, okay, and whether he's open to the idea of preventing forest open fires on their property as well.
Yeah, I think we ought to put the sign up no matter what.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, unless somebody challenges it.
So who's responsible for getting those signs? Is it staff or is it fire department?
We can get them, but I mean, I don't, it's probably not a lot of money. We can even pay for them, but I can get them made. And we can put them at those different locations to say no open fires above this point.
I told Mayor Geege, because I live on Bay Hill, right, mm-hmm, where the street ends,
uh-huh,
and we saw that day a truck full of teens with the bed was overflowing with wooden pallets drive up, and 10 minutes later come down with an empty bed, and later go back up.
Yeah, they tried to get away when we came up there. They took off, and I kind of stopped them because the police weren't there yet, but they actually turned out to be pretty good kids. They weren't drinking or anything, so I canceled the police. But they didn't know. They just said, we've come up here with my dad. We've burned forever up here. So
how many different locations would you want to put signs at?
The end of Bay Hill, and mm-hmm, then is it Dry Creek Circle there that goes up there too? I'll have to look at the map. There's probably only like three access points to getting up there.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Heisholtz Hollow.
Yeah, any of the access points. There's only like three or four of them, I think, to get up in there.
There's dirt roads above my house on Morgan Drive, but I don't think they can get off Morgan Drive up there. They don't have access.
Is there any access up at Temp Cove area?
Not motorized.
No, we can drive it and look around.
Jeff or David, do you guys know of any ways they get up other than the ones we mentioned?
Yeah, they can come through Pleasant Grove City.
Yeah, they can come all the way down.
Yeah.
And then they can go up across from the fire station too, even though we got signs posted, no trespassing. They've tried to put boulders in there. I think they can still maneuver around that and get up those dirt roads too.
That's my property. We're going to have that property blocked off real
the
soon.
The David Blake parcel
okay.
as well.
Well, the David Blake, yeah.
So
I mean, we can maybe get like 10 signs made and put them at strategic points, even on the Pleasant Grove side that are coming in the Cedar Hills on our city line, coming in from Pleasant Grove.
Okay.
If you want us to go ahead and do that, we can.
We're not taking action on anything tonight. I think we're going to leave it up to you, and that I think we think it's a good idea. That Council Member Reese said we're going to defer to you on a lot of stuff here. It's your expertise. So having signs up sooner than later is probably a really good idea.
Yeah, other than the state law now that they passed, it's up to the city councils. They took it out of the fire chief's hands on fireworks, okay. Not on open burning, but on yeah. fireworks.
What I meant by that is we'll do the restrictions.
Yeah.
We're just going to follow your recommendation.
Yeah, and it's got to be a city ordinance passed by the city
council. We are going to do that. We're just not doing it tonight.
Right.
Because
so
this
I'll
is
write it
discussion
up.
Only.
Yeah, if you want me to write up what I just discussed and then as an ordinance, and then we can modify that ordinance as conditions either get worse or better.
We can probably use what we used the last 2 years, can't we?
I think it's the exact same ordinance from last year. Yeah. That's okay.
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 Any questions? Council members have any questions?
No.
Great. Okay. I am going to quickly, and then we're going to go into exec session, talk about the American Fork Canyon Vision Project. So, if you're not familiar with this, this is the study group that I sit on and am heavily involved with. And so it is a group of people, all stakeholders, that have formed a steering committee to discuss recreation ideas, transportation ideas up American Fork Canyon. And we created a steering committee within the last year. I sit on, Larry Ellertson from the County Commission sits on, UDOT representatives, UTA's representatives, who else? Mayor Hatfield from American Fork, and representatives from Snowbird, representatives from Save Our Canyon. Maybe missing someone, but that's about it. So all the relevant stakeholders are trying to study how we do things up the canyon. So at this point, it's not necessarily a Cedar Hills issue. It very much could be a Cedar Hills issue as we're the gateway to American Fork Canyon at some point. We already had a town hall meeting in City of Cedar Hills, well attended from all over the county. And so our steering committee, which received funding from the state legislature, but also the private sector put in money as well. And the Forest Service, by the way, Forest Service and Park Service also on our steering committee. And so the Forest Service is providing labor, and we're doing surveys throughout this whole year up until the end of January 2016 up the canyon, asking people how they want to recreate, how they want to handle transportation. We hired Dr. Stephen Burr from Utah State University to handle those intercept surveys, and so he's doing that all year. We hired Buck Swaney from Logan Simpson Design to be our facilitator. He's working with Mountain Accord, which handles the exact same issues on the Salt Lake County side. And so it's a really important issue as we seem to be loving our canyon to death, and there's all types of special interest groups that are recreating. And so the Forest Service wants to get a handle on this so that they can figure out, do equestrians like recreate over here and mountain bikers over here and people that ride snowmobiles. So trying to figure all of that out and trying to figure out
Does the public want to be able to access Snowbird by maybe a gondola from Tibble Fork on up? How do we handle transportation issues and so forth? And so it's a really good discussion. I believe they're going to have a booth at our family festival and almost every other city that has city days this summer. So lots of town hall meetings, lots of public outreach at this point. So really important issue. And so anybody have questions on that?
Global information. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nothing? I guess I came in late to the discussion, but who's I guess this gondola would really benefit the ski resort up there, right? Is that what we're talking about?
If that ever happens. Uh-huh. So at this point, everything is being studied, including doing nothing.
Right.
And so my opinion, doing nothing is probably not a good idea because we have about 1.5 million visitors each year at the canyon, which makes it one of the busiest Forest Service and national monument areas in the country. So, mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure out what the residents want to do.
Right. I think the most important thing is that in the end, the people, the groups, the businesses that are benefiting the most from it have some, help fund it somehow. And as long as it's really open where the funding's coming from and what it's going to and things like that, that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah. Everything's been incredibly transparent. As I mentioned many times, mm-hmm. the state legislature gave $100,000. Snowbird gave $50,000. Forest Services contributed labor. Mm-hmm. And so there are no decisions that are being made at this point, but we hope to have some good decisions made by the fall.
Awesome.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. If there's no other questions at this point, then I would like to take a motion to go into exec session.
Could I make a comment before you do that?
Yeah.
Is it possible that we could hold off on executive session until Councilman Augustus is here and do it during council meeting?
Well, you can't do it during council meeting. So if we do that, then Mr. Shaw would have to wait till the very end of our council meeting.
And actually, it is noticed in the council meeting and not in the work session. It's noticed on the council meeting agenda and not on the work session agenda.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. The work session doesn't have a motion to go to.
We can do it.
But we can do it any time, correct?
We can. We absolutely can, and we have. And so.
Do we know why Councilmember Augustus is not here?
He said he was only going to be, he said about 10 minutes late. And so.
Can we just. Let me get an update on him.
Yeah.
I just say before we do that, I'd like to have all five of us here for that.
If we can.
If possible.
Are you on the way? How far away? He's got two cell phones. I don't know which one it is. How far away are you? How far away are you? How far away are you? Thank you.
Let's do this. While I'm trying to accommodate somebody, then, Charles, you want to take a few more minutes and pick up on, I think we had talked about FY16. You want to start a discussion on a tentative budget for FY16? Sure. Or pick up wherever you want.
Are you being able to get a hold of him?
Did he say what he had?
He said he was.
Just that I will be running a little bit later.
Yeah, he said he was like 10. He said 10 minutes.
Okay.
Wow. It's been well past that.
Here are the items that were listed in the budget retreat that were important. That were important to the council mayor during January. So a lot of these items will either show up in the capital projects fund or they're non-expenditure items because their staff just has to do some kind of study, or they would show up under professional and technical as something that we ask experts on if we don't have that expertise. Economic update from Zions website. In January, the Utah's unemployment decreased 0.2 points, and Utah County is even lower than that. I'm not sure the exact number, but it's usually like 0.5 lower or so. Zions Bank Wasatch Front Consumer Price Index decreased for the last year 0.4%.
Perfect. We're hoping to go into exec session. So we're going to, so if you can get here, thanks. Okay, bye. Thanks a lot. Bye.
And most of that is due to utilities like in the Wasatch Front, whether it's propane or electricity or different types of utilities, gas. Obviously, we've had some gas prices that were lower than the year before. The Consumer Attitude Index is Zion's version of the national consumer confidence index. And anything above 100 is pretty good. It's pretty optimistic, but it did decrease in February 6.9 points. So people aren't quite as optimistic as they were the last time, but they're still optimistic, whatever. So slightly lower expectations for the next 6 months. I thought it would be fun to look at what the city was structured like 10 years ago on the revenue side and then look at where we're budgeted now. What you can see is license and permits, that includes, building permits. So that was the largest part of the budget for revenues was from building.
Interesting.
And our sales tax and our property tax is pretty balanced, 20%, 19%, which is what the credit agencies like to see. So our biggest risk back then was that business licenses and building permits would decrease, and that's what eventually happened. So the city's been through quite a bit. Now, if you look, and recreation event fees were 1% of revenues. So that was another big change. Now, if you look in the current fiscal budget year, 31% of our budget is from sales-related taxes. That's good in that the residents aren't directly paying for it. The bad part is if sales tax dive, we're more vulnerable than maybe we were 10 years ago in that category. And you look at license and permits went from 29% down to 2%. Which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
Recreation and event fees have gone up to 8% from 1%. So, and property tax is still around 20% with motor vehicle fees. So how are we doing right now compared to last year? We requested less money in property taxes in our debt service levy, so we're about where we expected there. Sales tax has been up every month, except for one. There was a slight drop of a couple thousand. Franchise taxes have been down this year because we've had like record-breaking mild weather every. If it's supposed to be cold, it's been warm. If it's supposed to be warm, it's just kind of cool. So,
Charles, can we pick this up in a minute?
Yep. So I'll start this later. I'll just put a cap over it. Thanks.
Appreciate your accommodation. So now I will take a motion to go into exec session.
Are we just discussing litigation?
We are just discussing the letter that Eric Johnson wrote about a conflict of interest.
Okay, so we need both. Okay. I move that we go into executive session pursuant to Utah State Code 52-4-204 and 52-4-205 to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation and to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
Okay. I have a motion to go into exec session. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion has been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion was unanimous. Thank you very much.